Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marty Swedberg.
Hey everybody, welcome. This is Marty. I am excited to have you here with us for this program that we're calling Sustainable Growth for Leaders, Speakers, and Authors. Our guest today is Mark Villarreal, and we're going to be discussing your vital first step so you're building on a strong foundation, the difference between your foundation, goals, and plans, how to prepare for setbacks because you will experience them, the biggest mistake and how to avoid it, also the easiest way to build a development plan, five simple strategies for sustainable growth, how to surface and embrace your natural abilities and traits, even when you can't see them yet. And then also the secrets to keeping the momentum going. You want to grab some kind of a notepad or notebook right now, because you're going to want to take notes on this. Our guest today is Mark Villarreal. He has 35 years experience in corporate America, with 21 years at the C-level reporting to CEOs or presidents. He is the author of 8 books, including the recent release, A Script for Aspiring Women Leaders, 5 Keys to Success. And he's here to help us understand how to experience sustainable growth. You can learn more about him at his website, Mark Villarreal. I was doing so good there, but I'm excited to welcome you right now. Hi, Mark. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me. And you did great on the name.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, you know, I know names are so important. They are important, but they're also easy to mess up. So welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, and it's great being on.
We're going to dive right in. Your last book really hit a passion point for you, which was helping women leaders to really excel. And why women, do you think? Why is that your niche?
Well, I've mentored aspiring women leaders for over 25 years. There's several ways that led into it, but, you know, I've always had a passion for leadership that as I would, I was like in the 90s, I was what was called a turnaround specialist. So I would be sent to struggling businesses, whether a single location or multi, help dissect it. But I would always help build the leadership team with a balanced flow of men and women. And especially then I would find that we needed to add more women to the leadership teams. And as I would mentor women and help them develop their skills, I would really uncover and define that they have a balanced level of skills, okay. Where sometimes there's some misperceptions. In fact, men will tell you that men are logical, women are emotional. And what they don't realize is that women are also logical. But yeah. Because men maybe, for the most part, don't have as much of the emotional aspect, that's what they see in women because it's something that they lack. But women are actually very balanced with the logic and emotion. And then with their perseverance and everything else, they actually make very balanced decisions. So they have helped my success. When I was on with Jack Canfield on his TV show, I told him about one location where we turned around a single business, but it just so happened, not by design, that but we built it with a lot of single mothers. And so I hired one and they had that I cannot fail attitude. What do I need to take home? You know, what I need to learn?
Right?
A lot of self-accountability. And then they would refer another one that happened to be a single mother.
Nice.
And then they would refer another.
And love it.
This was a business that was $500,000 in debt, maybe ready to close their doors. And we changed the culture. I had 9 single mothers that worked for me that we just happened to hire. And many ended up developing into the leadership roles. And that business won the most outstanding location of the franchise organization they were part of over 60 worldwide. And and in 3 years, that owner sold the business for $12 million. And many of them are with the same organization or they moved on higher levels of success. But that has been where my passion, where I love the I cannot fail attitude. What do I need to take home? I preach about self-accountability and having an accountability partner, and women just embrace that as well.
Yeah.
It's like, right, you know, I need to be held accountable. What's that mean? And so that's where my passion has really built. In addition to that, I've had a couple personal assistants that were hired as administrative assistants. That's what they applied for. But as I would work with them, I'm like, you have a lot of good qualities and skills.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked at expanding that? And they're like, and some of them have been told that that was as far as they could go. And so I would mentor them one-on-one. And over the 25 years, I've developed a very specific method and fine-tuned it and built tools. But each one of them have developed into strong leaders that have run certain parts of the business and have expanded. And one of them took on a new part of the business and won employee of the year and walked the stage of the corporation. And it's just each of those, when they see what they can do and then believe it, they're unstoppable.
I love that. And we are going to kind of do like this surface thing real quickly over the top of a bunch of stuff that you go deeper into in your book. Sure. And we just have a short period of time here. So we're just going to really touch on these, but I wanted you guys to get a feel for Mark's expertise as well as what he's teaching here. So the first one is, what is the vital first step so you can build a firm foundation?
Well, the one thing when I work and mentor them is I teach them what a mission statement is, which is your reason for existence. So companies do that as well. But personally, what is your reason for existence? And then what are the values and principles that you set for yourself? And we all have values and principles, and we can probably list 20 of them. But if you were to say, what are the 5 to 7 that you want to define that you will live by moving forward? And so we work on exercise that helps you define that, because I call that defining what you will live by, because we teach that once you have those will guide every decision from that point forward. That's what a foundation is. You build everything else on top of that. So they have to be firm. They have to be set in stone. And you have to you're going to be tested on whether you might sacrifice them at some point. And when you do, you really weaken your foundation. So we go through the exercise, we talk about them personally, and then how they want to move forward professionally. And we build that foundation. So they say, yes, I will live by this. Yes, this is my reason for existence. And I understand what this foundation means.
I know when I had my mission and vision clear, that really made a huge difference for me. I was able to clearly define whether I should instantly say no. And it wasn't that I should instantly say yes. So many things come at you and you can just say no, and God can always change your mind about it. But you know, that's kind of the basic thing there. So what's the difference between foundation, goals, and plans?
Well, the foundation is, like I said, the values and the principles. My mom used to say values are what you live by. Principles are what you stand on. So a principle means it's a value that's automatic in action. And then next you want to get to your, what are your personal goals? You know, what do you want to accomplish personally in life, with your family, if you have family, with your spouse, if you have a spouse? What are some of the things that you aspire to? And we actually lay them out, what we call short term, and then, you know, midterm and long term, you know, in 20 years, you know, what does that grow to? So you could start seeing how goals are created. And how they're built, because once you have a goal, then you have to work backwards and say, well, what's the plan to get there?
Make a plan.
Because the plan, you have to start seeing what are the skills and knowledge and the experience that maybe you need to grow in, and what are the other tools and resources that you might need that provide that. No one gets there alone. They need the help of others and tools and resources. And that's the start of it. We talk about personal first. And then we move on to professional next. And what we teach is how those actually tie together as well. When you can obtain your personal goals, maybe I want to learn more about finances because I want to own rental property. But, you know, as a leader, when you start learning about finances, it really expands it, because you need to understand the finances of a business and the impacts that it has in decision making. And all that expands your critical thinking, which is very important for anyone that's going to be in leadership.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, standing at the end and looking backwards and saying, who do I have to be by the time I'm going to be out here at this goal? Right, what do I need to know? What do I have to have understood by the time I can get here? And that is a good way to start to make a plan. So how do we prepare for setbacks? And anybody who's been in business or ministry for any time at all knows you're going to have them.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing I teach is, I call it prepare for battle. That's actually the chapter three. In other words, when at this stage, when you're mentoring the women and you know they have their values and principles, they have their mission, they have their goals, and they're starting to see their plans. They're not complete yet. They want to get out there and do it. And it's like, wait, let's slow up a little bit and let's build a support network of others who are like you that have been through it before. And the great thing with women in leadership is there's so many of them and support networks that are women focused. And then some that, you know, a chamber of commerce could be a good a support network. But I always say, you know, look for two or three of them. And so we teach how to not only find them, but then how to evaluate them when you visit them, then how to see if they line up with some of the development that you need and that you can utilize them to help build, you know, your action plans that you build from your development plan. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But there's a great anonymous quote out there that behind every successful woman are other successful women who have her back. And I think that women supporting women is important. If you see who endorsed my book, you know, Amazing Women Nation and Women's Prosperity Network and several others, there's so many out there. I always tell people, if you can't find some, contact me. I sure
Right.
But, usually, and especially depending at what stage when I start mentoring the aspiring women, if they're brand new and they want to aspire to leadership, to if they're maybe somewhat in leadership, but they want to become stronger, the setbacks sometimes become close to home. It may be a family member or a spouse that's like, well, it's starting to take some of your time away. Or do you really think you could do that? And, you know, unfortunately, they think that they're helping you, but the naysayers, they're being what you call devil's advocates. And you need those that have been through it to say, no, you're actually doing well.
It's okay.
Now, here's how you need to have that conversation at home or with a family member as well. Here's what I did. Because when you have those setbacks, it's demoralizing and can make you actually stop your momentum.
Yeah, it's really important to just know that. And I learned in our businesses to define failure as feedback instead of failure as failure. Just a moment. Yeah. You're going to get through this. There is tomorrow. And we even, when we bought our retail store, we would, for the first time in our lives, we'd lose tens of thousands of dollars at once. One bad decision. Oh my goodness, so painful. But we just learned to calculate those bad decisions in college credit hours, how much a college credit costs, and then how many credits did that one cost us? Right. That helped us to reframe it so it wasn't so just straight up pain.
Well, and that's why we take them through the process, and the book has that, and even the workbook even has the evaluation forms. In fact, I have a saying when I teach leadership that a bad decision and a good decision takes the same amount of time. It's actually once you have a method to make good decisions that ask the right questions, it becomes more instinctive. And so making a good decision takes just the same amount of making a bad decision.
Yeah. So is that the biggest mistake, rushing into decisions, or what is the biggest mistake?
Yeah. The big mistake is rushing into it. Not because when you actually slow yourself up and learn these tools and find tools and resources, find other mentors. And my mom used to tell me, go find others that'll mentor you and then pay it forward and mentor others, because you'll learn more in that experience as well. But it's when you rush into it, it really can paralyze you, that when you slow yourself up and build these, you'll actually save time. And then when you build that momentum, you'll become unstoppable. But you'll be confident not only in yourself, but in those that are mentoring you. Trust is the number one factor in leadership and in mentors. And when you build trust in mentors and support networks, and they have the trust in you as well, that's important. Humility has to be there, though. We talk about in your values that humility is a strength, not a weakness. So have the ability, but also understand that there's difference between critique and criticism as well.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm going to let you get a take a second and get a drink here. I know I'm so grateful that Mark is here with us today, and he's just getting over a cold. So we're going to let him just refresh that throat for just a minute. The next thing we're going to talk about is the easiest way to develop a plan or to build a development plan. And let's see, Mark, are you ready to be back? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I know. It's rough. It's rough when it's just sore throat.
Well, and when you speak so much, I mean, we
speak all day sometimes. Yeah, so. For sure. Okay.
Excuse me.
The development plan. So we talked earlier about goals, and then you make a plan. So the development plan is different from a business plan.
Yeah, it's they're similar though. When you build plans, you want who's responsible. Who's going to take the actions, who else needs to be involved. You know, we talk about SMART goals, which comes to the book, good to great. You know, make sure that it's specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound, that there has to be what time do you want this finished. But we have assessments that we provide, and we teach it in the book, but the 52-page workbook that we have has the assessments that you take on your skill sets, on your knowledge. Sometimes you just need experience. But it helps you say, what are my gaps if I need to obtain these goals? Because you already have your personal goals and your professional goals that we worked on in earlier. But now it's like, what are the gaps? Who can I learn them from? Are there other resources I need to learn from? Sometimes it might be a course, an e-learning course. But many times it's within the support networks that provide that as well. So that's where you start mapping out an action plan. And that's why it's important that we have an evaluation form of how to visit the support networks to verify, then they can they help you with those actions? Do they have what your needs are? You may go visit five and find that two of them do.
Right.
That's great. And then maybe the third one, that this one's good, but I'm not there yet, but I'll start them in 90 days. You know, that's good too. It allows you to build that. And you put this into writing. And sometimes it might be a skill that you can learn from someone that you say, Marnie, how can you teach me this? Can I get your commitment to help me with this? And whether it's someone at work or someone within the support network or elsewhere, I've had others need it one college course at nighttime, you know, so sometimes you might define it like that as well.
Absolutely. I'm going to have you talk in just a moment for about 5 minutes straight for the simple strategy. So I'm going to give you another break right now. And while Mark is on a break right now, I'm going to just encourage you guys. His new book is called A Script for Aspiring Women Leaders, Five Keys to Success. And that is available anywhere, Amazon or whatever. But over at his website, which is MarkVillareal, which is VillareaL.com, you'd be able to download for free. He's offering his 52-page workbook that goes with the book. So if you want to just check that out, I encourage you to visit his website at MarkVillareaL.com and check that out, as well as the new book, A Script for Aspiring Women Leaders, Five Keys to Success. All right, let's see. Are we ready to roll with our five simple strategies for sustainable growth?
Let's go.
Great. So why don't you just give me the first one and then the second one, and then I'll make a comment.
Well, we talked about define what you would live by. So it does take soul searching. What are the values and principles that you do live by? Maybe there's one missing and that's where, when you're being coached, when I coach you or others that work with me coach you, what is it that's missing? We'll focus sometimes on humility, and so that takes our abilities to kind of see, I think this would help you here in this area. And then, you know, what is your reason for existence? And do you understand that this will be the basis of every decision moving forward? So we call that define what you will live by. The next one is to define what you would live for. So I know I will live by this, but now I will live for these things. So what are some of my personal goals, short term to all the way to long term, up to 20 years or more? What is my vision statement? Mm-hmm. So that's like a 5-year, you know, and a vision is different than a mission, because that has what you call a big, hairy, audacious goal.
Right.
And I have to reach for. Go ahead.
Yeah. I really love, love these two, you know, who are you basically? And then what are you going to do? You know, how are you going to do in the world? How are you going to react and live out in the world? And I know that for years, for me, just, I had a hard time to get past just the global, I am the beloved child of God and I live for his glory. Okay. So that's where I could get. Right. And honestly, that's still it. If you were going to narrow it all, boil it all down, that's still just it for me. But then there came kind of this comfort level where I was able to embrace a mission statement that God just gave me. He just gave it to me. Nobody helped. I didn't even know what it was when he gave it to me. I didn't even know what it was. But later I realized, oh, it was a mission statement. That's what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And so as you get more comfortable in Christ and in mature a little bit in your life, you're able to actually really embrace that. Yes, living for him, being his girl, being his son, whatever, is what we're supposed to do. But there's also work, specific work that he's designed us to do. And there's that verse that says exactly that.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I think once you understand your significance is that you're a child of God, then it's how can I expand it? And so even in those, the number one and two, we ask, if you could do anything in the world to help somebody, what would that be?
Right.
You know, one, the person that wrote the book with me, my co-author, was one I mentored, Crystal Ansuniga, mm-hmm. and hers was, I'd like to really help battered women. Mm-hmm. And it brought out a story that, you know, I never knew before. You know, people mm-hmm. have history on why they want to do these things. And so by defining what that significance is first, it gives that comfort level of, I do have bigger aspirations and dreams. I just maybe never told them to anybody. And so that's very important.
Yeah. And I really feel it. Well, I always say when God strung together your 3 billion base pair of DNA, he did it in a particular way. Right. It's not a surprise to him that you have this, even if I might say bizarre or crazy, or that you're the only person who thinks like this kind of an idea. You are unique. And whatever it is that God is bubbling to the surface with this work that we do in the coaching that you do with gals and through your book, just recognize that it's probably legit. It's probably true.
Right.
This is really you. And so a lot of the coaching, I don't know for you, but for me, a lot of the coaching is just to help people to really fully embrace and then surface that they are special. They are unique. They do have a specific work on earth to do.
You know, that's where, when you see their eyes light up and the epiphanies go off, that's where it all makes all the difference in the world. You know, that's why when my mom would say, find mentors, but pay it forward, because you will be, you will learn more when you mentor others, but also mm-hmm. it encourage you more and to mm-hmm. help them overcome that hurdle. And when you learn more, it's like I help them here in a different way than I've seen that it must be coming up. I'm going to encounter more in the same manner. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always say God knows what he's doing. Yeah. And so there's certain reasons why he brings people down your path.
What is the third simple strategy for sustainable growth?
Well, it's the prepare for battle. And that's where we say slow up, build mm-hmm. a support network, evaluate what types of support networks and what is available. And there's mm-hmm. many virtual and many local to where you're at. And how that can they assist you with your development plan? And you already have the framework of where you need mm-hmm. to develop that when you visit them, you could say, yes, they can help me with that. And mm-hmm. so once you do that and you decide, here are the support networks I'm going to be a part of, here you build your action plan for development.
Yeah. Okay. Number 4.
Well, it's overcoming obstacles, and you implement your support network, mm-hmm. what I call your implementation. Mm-hmm. You put it to practice and you're going to have those obstacles, but you're going to push through because of everything that you know, you're going to get the mentoring when you need it. You're going to overcome the hurdles. They will come. Some we create and some come out of the blue. And but you will be prepared for them. And as you start, success built on success. Mm-hmm. So once you start having a little, you start having a lot, and then the momentum really gets going.
Love that. I'm going to bring you back in just a second, take you off screen here for a second. And I just had a conversation this morning about this obstacle thing and how you hit a brick wall and then you have to decide what to do. So what doesn't work is to keep running and bashing your head into the brick wall over and over and over. That doesn't work. So what you need to do is pray and get a counsel, good counsel, wise counsel that will help you know, am I supposed to go over this, around it, under it, or am I supposed to actually turn around? And so, but it helps, it just helps to know that this is going to happen and that you can get good counsel. So what is number five then?
Ride the momentum.
Ride the momentum, baby.
And everything that I teach. So when I work with companies, I'm almost like, hey, we built that. That's great. People. And here's the problem. Sometimes people build strategic initiatives and then for that year, they didn't accomplish them, but they never go back and evaluate why. Why was it good? Why was it poor? They never even define in their action plan when are they going to evaluate and how. So we built that model for them. Once again, it's in the 52-page workbook on when you evaluate what, whether it's 90 days, 6 months, or a year. Each thing is different. And how do you keep improving? Because it's not only do I want to keep the momentum going, we let up sometimes. We're areas that we're good, we get a little more comfortable. So am I keeping that momentum going? Another reason why it's important to mentor others, because those are your reminders that are out there as well.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. They bring it back up to you. So how do you surface and embrace your natural abilities and traits, even when you can't even see them yet?
Well, I mean, that's where I think mentoring and coaching is involved, the way I do it. And I'll give Krista as an example, because like, well, I've had no experience in leadership. So how can I really think I could be a leader? And so we started talking about her personal life. What did you do prior to here? She had, you know, a son. So tell me about the things that you teach your son, and start to saying, well, look, you are a visionary and you are teaching your son values. And you are aspiring to develop, if you have these aspirations to own property at some point. And so you already know that you need to learn about financial skills and maybe how to be a little more assertive. And so as you take them through personally and you see that you're already doing a lot of this personally, they say, you just let me help walk you through that. We can not only formalize this a lot more personally, but then how to take it professionally as well. You will walk the leaps and bounds. So it's the exercise we do. I explain it in the book and the story. We tell it in a story, but we provide the resources and the downloadable workbook as well.
Oh, that's great. That's so helpful. And then, okay, so you get this momentum going and you're going, and then, you know, and this was really when we booked this interview, Mark. There's a big difference between a flash in the pan and a long-term sustainable business, ministry, whatever. And some people get, you know, some people kind of get dumped into a ministry and an opportunity and it goes big right away, but they don't know how to sustain it. Like, okay, they got that. They got on Oprah. They got some big thing. But now I don't know what to do now to keep that momentum going. So what would you say to the person who let the momentum slow down? What am I going to do now?
Well, humble yourself. Look for sometimes it's bigger resources and we can provide those as well. You know, CEOs have CEO groups that they attend. And so just about every level that you're at, you can find groups like that. But when you humble yourself, then you'll seek about, because I always say you can absolutely do a reset. I teach in leadership, if you didn't set expectations at the beginning, you can have a reset and set them today. And that's the same with what you do is if you lost momentum, you have to admit it. We would teach how to evaluate where have you lost it and why. It's people, strategy, or execution, one of the three, or a combination of them. And then how to move forward.
That's so great. Well, we are so happy that you've been here with us today, Mark. And I'm going to close this off just a few minutes early. You've shared such great content. I want you guys to be sure to go over and visit Mark's website at markvillareal.com, as well as check out his new book, A Script for Aspiring Women Leaders, 5 Keys to Success. Mark, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
And I hope you feel better soon. And thanks, you guys, for joining us. And be sure to check out Mark's book and website. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.